put together over here. So here we go. Page 194. Okay, so I made a mistake again. Page 196. Okay, up to 196. Page 196, we are up to Alecha Hashlachti Neirochem Mibetanimi Eli Ot. It's Hashem's name. Okay, you're my God. And then we went all the way through these psukim all the way until Pasik Yotes. Okay, so we are basically three pages of psukim, and I want to just dwell upon a couple of things. First thing I want to go look at is the Malbum on page 197 of Sivavuni Parim Rabim. Okay, so I'll read the words again one more time very quickly. Pasuk Yud Aleph on page 196 in the Pasuk, it says, Alecha Hashlachti Meirachim, upon you I was cast from the womb. Mibetanimi Keli Ota, from within the womb you are my God. Okay, on a very similar level, this means that a person over here, David is speaking, or David is representing Klal Yisrael, that we it's built into into the human condition an acknowledgement that we depend upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu from our very existence, from the moment that we are conceived. Isn't it interesting that we're learning over here about the Bet HaNimi, everything is HaKol B'Hashgacha, right against the backdrop of the top story in the news yesterday and today, Roe versus Wade. Abortion. Roe versus Wade. Abortion. Abortion. Over here we're talking about Olecha Hashlachti Meirochem. Nibeten imi, within the beten of my mother, Keli Ota. How can you go and take away the life of a child? Okay, according to Jewish law, it's not so simple, abortion, according to Jewish law, that would be a good topic of discussion, a good shir. What does Jewish law say about abortion? You'd be shocked, there are many situations where abortion is a mutter. Okay, there are interesting, the halacha has a different world. Okay, by the Goyim, according to halacha, from a halachic perspective, regarding how a Jew, how a goy, a non-Jew, is obligated, it appears to be much, much more chomer.
They're chayiv
nisa
on a much earlier.
They're chayiv nisa. Adam be Adam. It says by Noach. It says by Noach. There's a diuk of an Adam be Adam. The murder. Badam, the murder of a there's even the chiyuv nisa for murdering a fetus, and Klal Yisrael does not follow that rule because we follow after Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, the rules for us of Ritzit have changed, and it's not the same. It's not the same. The rules. I don't know all the details, all the gory details, but it's a very fascinating thing in America. Going on now in America, and I think what's very, very fascinating to me, the most is not Oshio in American politics, is the vice president. I think you know a person, someone like me, can say whatever they want, who could care less. But when you're an elected official in a country which has a constitution, has a set of laws, and the Supreme Court makes a decision, the vice president can go on a tirade and start cursing the Supreme Court and say, how dare they? How dare they? We call them all these different names. Vice President of the United States is coming to usurp the authority of the very government that put them in office. It's an incredible breach in society. It's an incredible. It sends an incredible message. Yeah, it's an incredible. I mean, the same constitution that gives you the right to be the president, but the vice president gives them the right to make their decision and to speak in front of the whole country in such a disrespectful way, is an unbelievable, shocking thing. In any event, that's not our problem. Our problem over here, the pasuk over here says that over here it's a hashkacha problem over here that hashlachti meirechem, meirochem, mibeten imi. Over here the pasuk says something which I wouldn't even pay attention to if not for the fact that it's in the news. From within the beten, keliota, this child, this fetus already has a sensitivity that there is a God. There is a God. And how would that translate in the world of halacha? To snuff out the life of this creature who is in the mother's womb, that David HaMelech said, already mi beten imi, already from within the beten of my mother, I already have a sensitivity to acknowledge there is a God and to take the life of that creature, because my body, my choice, is, you know, that's the law in America now. That's pretty much the law of the land. And you know, it seems to go against Kol HaTorah Kulo. That's what it seems, but...
It reminds the pasuk from Shimshon. Zir Elohim Yehana
Min HaBeten.
Okay. Even
Min HaBeten.
Inside already.
But yet, the halach is, if a person kills, there's no key of Misa. If a person, according to the world of halach, if a Jew takes the life of a fetus, there is no key of Misa. There's damin. You pay the trial, the vow, but you don't pay. There's no mitzvah bezdin. And in fact, I think if this is true, that if a woman does indeed need, let's say a Jewish woman, does need to have an abortion, and if I'm not mistaken, there are many situations where according to halacha it's permitted. It's better that she should have a Jewish doctor than a non-Jewish doctor, because the non-Jewish doctor is chayv misa according to halacha for taking the life of a fetus. Whereas a Jewish doctor is not chayiv misa. Why? That's whatever it is. That's the halacha. So it's lifnei iver. Is there a din lifnei iver for a guy, for a Jew to cause a non-Jew to be chayiv misa for committing, doing an aver where he is chayiv misa? That's not necessarily a good thing. And if you have two doctors and they both have equal skill, there's no difference between one and the other. And one surgeon is Jewish, one surgeon is non-Jewish. Mm-hmm. It would seem that it would be, I mean, you can't generalize because there's so many variables. And why exactly is this woman having an abortion? It's a roideif. If the baby is a roideif, then, I mean, okay, so it doesn't really make a difference. It has to be done. If the child is not a roideif and there are other halachic considerations which permit this to occur, okay, so these are very, very complicated issues which mamash you need the biggest gedolei Yisrael to deal with, to understand what's going on. And it's very fascinating that in this country, this thing now has become a very, very big issue, especially with all the conspiracy going on around it, with leaks and a call for the FBI to do an investigation. It's unbelievable, like a mamish out of a movie. It's mamish a movie what you're watching on the news. Unbelievable, and here we are, in the morning kolo, and we're learning about it also. Mi beten imi. Kaliyata, David HaMelech also has an opinion. He also has a blog. He also has something to say. And he says that a child in the mother's womb already has a sensitivity to acknowledge the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now look over now. Then we go further. Al Tirchak Mimeni Ki Tzara
Kleiva. He wrote four stages of his life. And one of the first stages of his life is when he was
Beten Imo. Yeah. So you see there is such a thing. But exactly at what point in time does the person have that sensitivity? This whole discussion is 40 days. You know, the trimesters, how all of this works. Chazal certainly have a... Look, we say by the Haggadah, Tisha mi yodeya. Tisha ani yodeya. Tisha yarche leida. You know, what does that mean? There have been libraries written to explain all the different perushim what this means. But obviously, there's something very significant about the Tisha Yarche Leida. There's something very significant about that. If you mention in the Haggadah, it's part of the Piyut, surrounded by all these other matters which are certainly Devarim, Ha'imdim, Beruma Shalaylam, there's certainly some very great significance. All right, let's see what it says over here in the go further. Next pasuk was Al Tirchak Meniki Tzara Kiroiva. Do not distance yourself from me because the Tzara is Kiroiva. It's near. It's real, ki ein olzer, and there's no one to save us but you. Sivavuni podim rabim, I'm surrounded by these parim, abirei vashon, these fat, mighty parim of the region of Vashon, which is a place in Eretz Yisrael where there are very, very wild, massive, powerful oxen. Kitruni, they are surrounding me like with a crown. They envelop me. Potzol IPM, they open up their mouth. Arye Toreif, they're like a lion that rips apart its prey, Vishoyeg, and while it does so, it roars, it gives out a scream. Let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim on Pasik, actually there's one more Pasik. So, no, not the Malbim. I'm sorry, I meant to say the Minchas Erev. And let's do one more pasuk before we come. Kemayim nishpachti. He goes on with two more pasuk. We look at Tezlov. Like water, I've been poured out. V'sparto kol atzmosam. My bones have separated. Hoyali libi kadoinog. My heart is turned into wax. Namneis besoch me'oy. It's melted in my innards. Okay, let's look over here. The Minchas Ori. There's very interesting things that he says over here. On page 197, where it says, Yud Gimel Tesvav. Pasuk Yud Gimel Tu Tesvav. It's towards the bottom of page 197. Silvuni Padim Radim. Halo lefnech goli mash shenisesi lo'orel. Now, this is a very fascinating what he does. The Minchas Erev, the Minch of the afternoon, the late afternoon, okay, listen and savor, he learns all of these psukim in reference to Esther HaMalka. As we know, this Mizmor is the story of Purim, and he fills in some details of the story. And he says here, Haloi Esther over here is saying that, don't blame me. We concluded with this idea yesterday. Esther enters into the palace, into the Chotzer HaPnimis, and shockingly, suddenly, the Shekhinah departs. And this is the greatest disappointment of her life. She had a lot of disappointments, Esther. Her father died, her mother died, she was taken hostage, she was abducted by Ahasuerus. And now everything seems to come make sense, because here she is to save Klal Yisrael. And she's mispalel, and Klal Yisrael is mispalel. She fasts for 3 days, and now is the moment of truth. That Tilbash Esther Malchus, she's enveloped with Ruach HaKodesh. And now she goes to save Klal Yisrael. And suddenly, the Shekhinah disappears. How could that be? After all this, after everything that happened to her in her life, everything finally makes sense. Why she's here, how she got here, what her mission is. And she did everything that she was supposed to do. She fasted 3 days. She did teshuva. Klal Yisrael rallied behind her. And now the Shekhinah just poof, disappears. Are you talking? After all this, how could it be? So this entire Mizmar, in essence, is a cheshbon hanefesh. What went wrong? Where did I go wrong? She's reflecting every step of the way. Maybe it's because I called Ahasuerus a dog. Maybe it's because I didn't do enough, this. Here, the Minchas Erev takes these psukim and interprets them as a reflection of possible mistakes Esther says to Hashem, I may have done, which is the cause. And if that is the case, I'm mekabel upon myself immediately to rectify my errors. And she says, Haloi lefanecha amachol, Haloi lefanecha goloi mashem yisesi le'orel, Lo haya nivnei piritzusi shahayisi mamsi lenafshi nivnei sari hamelech alakshim naros. Maybe she says, Esther says, you know what, maybe I should have not been so willing to marry Ahasuerus. She right now is married to the Orel. Okay, the Orel. That's a nice, nasty word. Nasty word to refer to a guy. The Orel. The one that is the uncircumcised. And Michal, we're learning on page 196 in the Minchas Erev. The Minchas Erev, page Pasuk Yud Gimel.
Okay. This doesn't help me, but okay.
The Minchas Erev.
What Pasuk?
Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel in the Minchas Erev. So we hear Esther is saying, you know what? Maybe I made a mistake. When they came to take me to the palace to be a Pilegesh for Ahasuerus, and ultimately I would be selected to be the queen, I'm a Beis Yaakov girl. You know, I went to Beis Yaakov. I went over here and flapish to Beis Yaakov. It doesn't pass for a Beis Yaakov girl to go to Ahasuerus to be a Zoyna for Ahasuerus. Maybe I should have been Moser Nefesh. I should have given up my life. I should have refused, made a scene, made a protest. I should have died on Kiddush Hashem. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, I don't want you. I don't want you to be the savior of the Jewish people, because you really shouldn't be here to begin with. You really should not have ended up being the queen You went too far. It's a chilul Hashem. So Esther over here is saying, it's not my fault. I had absolutely no choice. Who are the Purim? The Purim are the SS. The Purim are the secret police. The Purim are the communists. The Purim are the secret service. They came to take me. I had no choice. I literally had no choice. They came and they seized me. They surrounded me. They terrified me. I did not have any choice. I find myself here in the palace. There was no element of free will in me getting here. I didn't make a decision.
No free choice.
One more time. Haloi lefonecha.
I think the static is getting disturbed.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. No, don't do apologize. You're helping me. Don't need to apologize. Please. Okay, so it says over here, Haloi lefonecha golu. It is revealed before you, Hashem. Ma, shenisesi l'orel. This that I'm married is a real racial slur. Ma, shenisesi. They would ban this today. Shenisesi l'orel. This that I'm married to the Shagans. I'm married to the Shagans. Lo haya libnei piritsusi shayisi mams. Look, you know, even Ivanka Trump, they had a night report. She says she called her brother, Don Jr. She said to him, he comes for Shabbos. He himself gave a speech. I go to my sister on Saturday, and she says to me, my sister, oh, Don, it's good you're here. You're gonna be our Shabbos guy. It's in the news. He said this, you're our Shabbos guy. It's good you came for Shabbos. We need a Shabbos guy here.
They gave Donald the Schlissel Challah. He doesn't know what door it opens.
Okay, I'll tell you something off record. Once you mention the Donald, this is so funny. You're not going to believe how funny this is. But I don't want to record this. So I have to pause the recording. Right, I got a lot of the funny stories. He told his kid said to Donald, he says, on Pesach, I stole the Afikoimim.
They go to the local day school, like everybody else.
Okay. All right, going back over here. So over here, S over here saying is, Haloi lefonecha golimash, and he says, it's not because I'm a perutza. I'm a Beis Yaakov girl. I had no intent to do this. Shayisi mamsi lenavshi b'fnei sarei ha-melech ha-mavakshim no'arois. Ela adraba, how you see matvinatzmi? I hid myself. Umashdim says you who hoya al yidei. Here are the key words: shesivavuni podim rabim hasoyvivim buir. They went and they scouted out all the pretty girls, and they abducted me. Levakesh me'orois besulois kimosh amuzal alvati lokach Esther she nilkicha bal korchuhu. Noisaf al hamoin hasayvim hayu gedol rabim shifkin amelach pekidim heim abire voshan. Besides the other monsters out there that the officers, which we call the abire voshan asher kitruli keser malchus. So this is very, very fascinating. Here the minchas erev, when we discussed this we mentioned the word keser kitruni, and we said it's a borrowed term because kitruni means a keser, a crown. And a keser happens to be something which surrounds the head 360. It goes all the way around the head to keep the head, to cover the head. So you couldn't find a better word in the whole Tanakh to refer to a hat, to being enveloped, to being surrounded. You have to come onto the word keser. Well, according to the Minchas Erev, every single word in this mizmar is alluding to another event in the Purim story. And therefore, when it says over here, kitruni, abirei vashon kitruni, It was the monsters in the palace that crowned me as queen. First, there was Sivavuni Podim Rabim. There were these officers that went from house to house looking for women, looking for pretty girls to bring to the king. And they went into all the schools, they scouted everyone, and they saw me. And they forced me. And then when they forced me, they brought me to the king. And the king saw me. And kitruni, the abirei boshan, which means that the inside. They are the officers that scouted out. They caught me, and then they brought me into the inner circle. And the officers who work in the palace. They promoted me to be the queen, to put the keser malchus. Okay. So over here, according to the Minchas Erev, it's very, very satisfying. It's very satisfying over here. Why we're using the word Keturuni? He still here refers to the Kesa Malchus. Be'oimram, Zoru Uyilim Loch, the Avapi Chena Yisi Nista Behem Ad Shapotsu IPM, and I still hid myself until Shapotsu IPM, the Umbul Mordechai, Imlo Yimso Oisi Biyadam, Yahargu Oisoi Vi Oisi. And we refused. And every step of the way, as they abducted me, and then they promoted me to go be the queen, every step of the way we said, no, 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 we don't want, we don't want. And then they threatened us. If you don't do what we say, we're going to kill you all. Patsu, they opened up their mouth. You know, these are very interesting. You don't hear this. Even when you look, Mechol has insight into the Midrashim. Do the Midrashim talk about this? Do the Midrashim mention that they threatened Mordechai and Esther, if you do not agree to be the queen, we'll kill you?
Is this such? I don't recall that.
Is, right,
it's certainly not in Esther Rama, but in the other. Okay.
So it's not in the standard Medrash. And the Minchas Erev. The Minchas Erev is saying this as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, this is what happened, and it's a pasuk. He reads this into the pasuk. Okay, this is shocking stuff. I mean, it's really very insightful, but you have a makar for this, to say such a chiddush? You're just going to say this pasuk is the source? You know, you're really interpreting the pasuk in a very in a novel way. Im lo yimso oisi biyadam yahargu oisi oisi oisovi oisi v'zeu aryeh tarnef v'shoyeg. They roared. These who are, we're not referring to, it's not like Rashi that's in the Nebuchadnezzar. We are referring over here to the king's people, his officers. The ani kishnim sarti biyadam bal karchayisi nifal v'nitzar kamayim nishpachti. And when they took me to him, I was terrified. My heart melted. Kihem dimul hamelch la'arye ba'amam arye ter v'shoyg ve'ene uve'ene choya kekelef. And that's the next pasuk. They called the king an Aryeh. I looked at him as a dog. I viewed him. I'm married to a dog. That's a little bit later on. Therefore, Hashem, I declare my innocence, and therefore this cannot be the reason why the Shekhinah has departed. And Esther here is making a cheshbon hanefesh. Why has the Shekhinah departed? Keili, keili, lama, azavtani. Are you going to say it's because I wanted to be the queen? I presented myself as a candidate to be the queen for Achashverosh? I'm a perutza? No way. Hashem, you know that's not true. I hid. They found me. They abducted me. I was kicking and screaming. I said, no, 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 no. And they took me against my will, the Abiri Bashan. And they said to me, if you don't accept, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill Mordechai. It was not my choice to do so. Don't blame me for this. This cannot be an excuse for you, Hashem, to abandon me at this critical moment. Okay, this is the Minchas Erev. Yeah.
Have a problem with Esther living with him after the Till then, she was forced.
V'chasher avadati avadati. Every time she was forced. The only time that she was not forced was when she went to the chatzer hapninis on her own. Because then she was submitting that meant that he would live with her. When she walked into the chatzer hapninis, automatically it meant that she would be nivalo. That's what it meant. It doesn't say in the Megillah, but that's understood. That she did willingly.
Right.
And she said to Mordechai, if I'm going to do this, I'm never going to be allowed to come back to you.
Right.
Because a woman that's Nensa, a Yisraelis,
right.
That is Nensa, if someone does this to her against her will, she's permitted to return to her husband. But if she has an affair willingly, she is a willing participant in this, she is forbidden to ever go back to her husband. Her husband, according to Halacha, must divorce her. So she says to Mordechai, you're telling me I have to go to the king and speak to him. You realize, when I go into the Chatzar HaPanimis, it means one thing. When you show up in the Chatzar HaPanimis, the Melech is going to have relations with me. And when that's going to happen, then I'm submitting. I'm doing this voluntarily. He didn't call me. I'm submitting willingly. And that means V'chasher Avadati, Avadati. The same way I lost my parents, I lost my mother and my father, I'm now going to lose my husband, you. Mordechai, who was her husband, I'm going to no longer be permitted to be married to you when all the dust settles. Hopefully this thing will come to an end one day. I'll never be permitted to come back to you because... And Esther did that. She gave up her husband. Esther, we've mentioned this, I forgot from who, was the loneliest person in the world. She lost her father when her mother was pregnant. She lost her mother when her mother gave birth, when she was born. And now she lost her husband. Because when she had to go into Achashverosh willingly, the Chashavarati of Aradish, she lost the three people in her life in a tragic way. Her mother, father, and her husband. She was the loneliest person in this world. The Megillah is not a happy story.
Later on, she lost the son.
Daryavesh, right, Daryavesh. Was Daryavesh a religious Jew? Even though technically he's Jewish, supposedly, right? Because her mother is Jewish, she was the mother. We have absolutely no record anywhere that Daryavesh HaParsi, which was her son, we assume it was her son, was a religious Jew, was a Shomer Shabbos. There's no record of him being a Shomer Shabbos. He grew up in the palace amongst the Goyim. Was he a religious Jew? That cannot be a nachas for Esther Hamalka, for a Beis Yaakov girl, that her son went off the derech. Or not all the derech, never had a chance to begin with. He was set up for failure. So she lost her mother, father, husband, and her son was raised as a goy. What kind of nachas is that? And that's how the Megillah ends. That's how the Megillah ends. Mordechai ends up also. Ratzu l'roi v'echav. He was a glory, he had a wonderful life, but at the end of the day was, people were not so excited about him. They whatever the reasons were, Leroy Vechov, when everything was over. That's the sacrifice. They gave up everything. They gave up everything for Klal Yisrael, but they themselves had nothing. Look, today in Eretz Yisrael is a day of observance. Yom HaZikaron. Okay, tomorrow is Atzmaut. Tomorrow is Independence Day, and today is a day of reflection for Klal Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael, to remember there are how many people give their lives, they have a number, about 24,600 and something. Okay, it's a lot more obviously. That's just people who died. What about the people that were permanently injured? What about the people that suffer from trauma? What about their parents? What about their children, their spouses, the whole Klal Yisrael? Okay, we're dealing over here, and it's a day. These people, they gave up everything for Klal Yisrael, for us sitting right here in the young Israel of Midwood, sitting here with air conditioning. It trickles down to us. They gave up everything, their lives, everything. Esther Hamalka, she gave up everything. No credit, no one did any, no nothing. Mother, father, husband, even Mordechai, they weren't too hot about Mordechai when it was all over. Yet they saved Klal Yisrael. Welcome to the world of public service. Public service, no one's going to give you credit for anything. You do a l'shma, you do a l'shem shemaim Hashem, Hashem rewards the person. But in this world, you don't expect any credit. If you go into it with the expectation, it's only bizyonis. That's how it always ends. All the bizyonis. Okay, well, so
Rus ended the positive story.
Rus, interesting what you say that. Interesting that you say. I hear what you're saying. Interesting point. I hear. All right, let's now take a look at page one. Let's take a look over. Let's look at the Maimon Chazal on the bottom of the page. On the bottom of the page, the Maimon Chazal, Mibeten. You know, just jump around a little bit. This is in fact a very popular Chazal, from the more popular Maimon Chazal, about what to do on Yom Kippurim, when a woman is pregnant, is expecting, and it's Yom Kippur, and the child, the ubar, the fetus in the mother's womb, is banging on her mother's belly. Excuse me, I'm hungry here. What's going on here today? What's this today over here? You didn't eat lunch today. Don't you know when you eat lunch, I eat lunch? So there was a mice, the very famous Chazal, on the very bottom page, 197 on the bottom. Mi beten imi keli ota shtei uborois. There were two women that were pregnant. Why two? I don't know why he says there were two. Nashim horois, pregnant women, sheherechai b'yom kippurim rechatashlo v'yisavulo. They were hungry. They were hungry on Yom Kippurim. There was a fragrance that was wafting through the air. They were hungry. Bol lefnei Rabbi Tarfon. They went to Rabbi Tarfon to she'el on Yom Kippurim, could we eat? We have hunger pangs. We're pregnant. The children side of us, they're not chayiv in the tainus. Maybe you can help us. Shalach legaboy netrein talmidim. So he sent to these two women two students. Omar lahoin. He told them to the talmidim. Islun, he told the students, Islun go, the imrun loin, tell the women, Tsoimarabu. Okay, this is an expression, Tsoimarabu. Today is the great fast. It's the day of the great fast. Luchu, and here the editor, he translates this into Hebrew, Luchu go, velachashubo izin imo. Go and whisper in the ear of the mother, Hayoim.
Okay, you're muted now.
I'm not muted, no. You hear me? Ramachal, do you hear me?
Okay, now I know. It was incoming fake call that interfered. Okay.
Luchu go v'lachashu whisper b'oizen ima hayoim tzoyim shel yoim ha-kippurim omrin likad moya ushadach. So they said this. Omrin is the Talmidim, they whispered this into the ears of these women in front of them. And ushadach. And the child, the fetus, calmed down. The fetus understood. And when this happened, it was like a miracle. A miracle, look at this. You whisper, it's so easy. Someone, the child is talking, you whisper, today is Yom Kippur. And mibeten imi keli ata, an indication that a fetus inside the mother's womb knows, has a sensitivity to the sanctity of the day, of Yom HaKippurim. And when you say the words, you say this to child, okay, how this works, we don't know, no one came back to tell us, but a fetus, we know the Malach is teaching, it's in a spiritual world. Chazal, there are many Mamari Chazal that tell us that the fetus in the mother's womb is in a world to itself. Okay, whatever these things mean, it's soifa misoifa oylamat soifa. The fetus and the mother's womb at that point, it sees everything. It understands everything. It's in its spiritual existence. And when you say to the ubar, it's tsoimer abba, it has an effect. There's something very significant. I was learning yesterday about a person that is born on Yom Kippur. It's a very big thing, a child that's born on Yom Kippur. There's a certain sanctity, that an aura that surrounds that person his whole life. And also a person was a bris milah on Yom Kippur. In fact, it says what I in the Sefer that there's a minog, I don't know if they do today. Obviously there are other factors. A baby that has a bris milah on Yom Kippur, you should name him Rachamim. Rachamim. Anyone know Rachamim? Rachamim? There's something to it. So, no, it's not a coincidence. In Chaim Berlin, they were very, very choshev about tzila. Harav Nochum Aryeh Foyer Shlit, a very choshev person. He's the Baal Tzila. His day is Yom Kippur. He does Kol Nidre, Musaf, Ni'ilah. He performs for a very large crowd. They have the Kanaanar, 1,500 people in the building. 1,000 men, 500 women. Well, now they change it. Now because of COVID, so they split it up. Okay, now already it's a different Tkufa. So they split the minyanim now. It's really, they have two minyanim now. They split. All right, but it's still very crowded. However you look at it. You know when he was born? His birthday? Chaim Berlin is here? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is his birthday. You got to say to him on Yom Kippur, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. No cake. No cake for you. But that's his birthday. Kibla the candles, and I found, you know, find it, you know, it's not an accident, a coincidence, that the person who is davening Musaf on the holiest day of the year for a very chashuv olam was born on that day. You can't go tell me, you're not going to convince me it's just a coincidence that it happens to be the Baal Musaf, happens to his birthday, happens to the Yom Kippur. I'm sorry. You know, that's not a coincidence. that's obviously there's something divine, okay, something divine about that. No? It's a very powerful thing. Any event, over here we have over here to say to this comes from this piece, this is my chazal, mi beten imi keli ota. A child in his mother's womb has a sensitivity to Kedavish of the Kedusha, and he already acknowledges that Hashem is his God. And when you say to the child, today is Yom HaKippurim, the child miraculously calms down. Okay, does it work today, this technique? People do this today, Shana.
They sing to the baby, they talk to the baby.
Okay, but I'm talking about Yom Kippur, to say these words to the baby. There is such a thing. Okay, you have to ask, there is such a thing that you say to a baby, women who are pregnant, they talk to the baby, that today is the Tzoymer Abba, whatever that means. Okay, let's now take a look at another Maimer Chazal on the next page. Let's look at the Malbim. Okay, the Malbim on the next page, page 198. Malm over here, it is Pasuk Yud. Well, this is really Pasuk Yud Zayin. We have to go further. Let's move ahead. Let's read the Pesukim over here. Just a few Pesukim. I'm on now page 198. We learned yesterday, Kamayim Nishpachti Vispardu Kol Atzmosoi. Hoyalil Vikanoin. It was like wax. Okay. Nomes Pesuch Me'oi Yovesh Kacheres Koichi. My strength. What we learned yesterday, my saliva has turned dry like pottery. Ulashani Mudbok. Malkoi choi, and my tongue has cleaved to the palate and to the floor of the mouth.
Palates.
Palates. Lashon Rabbim. Upper and lower. As Rav Dov taught us.
No lower palate.
The palate is above. The lower.
Only above.
Only above. Okay, we have dentists here. We're not going to argue with the dentist. You don't want them hake ashinaf. We don't want any violence here. The floor of the mouth. Is that a good term? You mastered that term?
Good.
Haskama, from one dentist to the next. Al tikli mi dar el dar, rather mi dentist al dentist.
The tongue's base.
What?
The tongue's base?
Okay, all this terminology here. Okay, so now we have, come on, we have here. Mal koi choi ul afar moves tish beseni, you put me to the afar moves, to the earth, you set me. Pasuk Yitzayim ki svevuni kilovim adas mereyim. Here we come to the dogs. You set me, you surround me with dogs, adas mereyim hikifuni, an assembly of evil people, evil doers have surrounded me. Koari yodai viraglai, my hands and my feet have been crushed, have been destroyed, broken into pieces, the same way a lion devours them. And then we have one more pasuk, asaper kol atzmosoi. We have two translations for this. Hema yabitu yiruvi. All of my bones will speak. We have two interpretations. Either the words asaper means to speak. My bones, they speak. It's as if when you give a look at me. Asaper, you make a good point. You make a good point that it should say yisapu b'loshen rabim. Asaper. It will speak kol atzmosai. I guess you have to assume that according to this interpretation, it means it's like the collective noun. All of my bones are going to have one representative, and they're going to speak up and they're going to declare what they've done to me. They're going to talk about the pain that they've inflicted upon me. When the goyim, they look at me, the heima they thou, and my enemies, yabitu, yiruvi, they look at me with scorn, they look down upon me. Okay, let's see over here some of the mefarshim, a little more clarity in this, and pasuk yudzayin in the Malbim. In the Malbum, it says ki ata now maskel achilik hasheni. We don't need that part. Achas shetzir es ha'oifel ve'cheshkas halayla tisneitzeitz b'lev ha'mesharer. It now is now beginning to blossom or to break forth a ray of light in the composer of this mizmor, referring to David, the Yelos Hashachar. And that's what this mizmor is called, the Yelos Hashachar. Va'yor es halayla mischazek v'yomer. Hagam, now it's a positive statement. According to the Malbim, this statement over here about the dogs is an expression of hope. And he says, Hagam, although shesivavuni kilovim, although the dogs have surrounded me, medame es atzma l'chaya sheroitze litsudo, they look at me like an animal, they want to trap, v'hatzayodim sholchem es hakelavim usviv hakelavim oimdim hatzayodim. This is Mamish describing Auschwitz. Mamish describes one thing you read about Auschwitz over and over. Anyone that survived to tell you what happened, they got even when they got near, the trains were getting near Auschwitz, they started to hear the bark of the German shepherds. There were an enormous amount of German shepherds. And when they got off the train, what do they see? Dogs, 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 dogs. These vicious, vicious German shepherds being held by the soldiers, by the Nazis, these Rishoyim, these lowlifes. The people who worked in the, they were the lowest of the low. These the people they assigned to work there were good for nothing. Mamish achzorim. And you hear the people who survived, they lived their whole life with this horrific terror, fear of these German shepherds barking. And that's what it says over here. It is like Mamish or Nevuah, because there's a lot of overlap in the world of Hashkafa between the story of Purim and the Holocaust. It's a lot of Lahashmid, Laharog, Ula Abed, Es Kol HaYehudim, Minar, V'yad Zokein, Taf, V'noshem, B'yom Echad, Ushlalam Lovos, and steal their money also. Ushlalam Lovos. I mean, the Holocaust, you know, it was Rachman al-Tzlan. It was a nightmare. It was Mamash Akim of this pasuk. There's a lot of overlap. And one thing that was a very prominent horror are the dogs. The dogs. And that's what it says over here. Usviv ha-kalavim oindim hatsayadim. Around the kalavim stands the hatsayadim. I translate that as the SS, the Nazis. Oimer shagam. This means to say, Shagam Shesivavuni Hakalovim, even though I was surrounded by dogs, Visaviv Hakalovim, Adas Mireyim. We're calling you the Nazis. We're calling the assembly of evil people. Hikifuri, they surrounded me. The camp was surrounded, barbed wire, couldn't get out of there. Bechalze, Lo Ira Mipneyem. Okay, I mean, how many people could say this? Okay, how many people can say such a thing? Lo ira mipneyam ra koari yodai viraglai. See over here, this is where the Malbim is coming to say something completely 180 from what we learned yesterday from Rashi and the Mitzudos. Whereas Rashi and the Mitzudos, yes, they says that the words koari yodai viraglai means a lion doesn't just bite, a lion
breaks.
A dog bites, and that's it. And that's, I'm sure, very painful. But that's it. A lion, it's not satisfied with biting. It has to break and crush and destroy. So we learned yesterday, like the dog barks and bites, and the lion breaks. The Malbim is disagreeing. He's saying it means over here that although I was surrounded by dogs barking, although they were terrorizing me, my faith was firm. My faith was robust, and I had faith, my hands and feet had faith in you, Hashem, as if I'm a lion. Yodai v'raglai oimdim negdam b'chozek, kidei, like the hands, v'raglai ho'ari, like the hands and feet of a lion, asher lo yechas mikoylam, u'me ha'moinam lo ya'aneh. A lion is not afraid of nothing. He's not afraid of the shouts of dogs. If dogs go try to attack a lion, the lion's not afraid. It's a cockroach to a lion, a dog. It's not afraid, and not afraid of the sounds. And this is a very interesting how he, the Malam over here, is unique in his translation. Now, while we're on this page, just look over here at the Perush Harid, the Ma'al Koy Chai. We discussed this already a few times. We discussed it. What is the Ma'al Koy Chai? So we said the palate and the floor of the tongue. He says, the Perush Harid. The Perush Harid is on page 198, right below Rashi, on the right side. Right below Rashi, one line, just the one liner. So one liner, Perush Harid, page 198, look where Rashi is, on the right column of Rashi, immediately below Rashi is a Perush Harid. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Mal Koychoi, Ma Sha'al Haloshoin, Umi Tachtov, Yikaru Melkochayim.
Both.
It's Loshen Rabin. Hazuraya. Azariah is called the Melkochai, Malkochai, the Melkochai. Okay, we just want to review that point because he says the same over here. Because remember, we learned Rashi.
They call palate.
The top is the palate, yeah, and what is below is called the floor of, what do you say, the floor of the tongue?
The floor of the mouth.
The floor of the mouth, that's what it's called, the Malkochai. You see, not every word in Hebrew has an English translation. Not in every word in Hebrew, everyone knows that there is no English word, English expression for mechutanim. Mechutanim. How do you say mechutanim in English? You have a one worder? Mechutanim. It's the in-laws of my children. The in-laws of my children, of my son or daughter.
The Sfarim call consuegos.
Consuegos?
Consuegos. Consuegos? It has to do with your husband or something like that.
Consuegos. All right. In English, there is no single word for mechutanim. There's no word. You know, there's a brother-in-law, a sister-in-law, a mother-in-law, a son-in-law, brother-in-law, and then there's your wife. She is the law. That's an old joke. What?
There's no word for in-law, brother-in-law,
sister-in-law. Michutanim is a Yiddish, I guess a Yiddish word, right? It must be a Yiddish expression. Michutanim, I don't know. Could be, I don't know. It's a composite.
He said there's a Spanish equivalent?
He says there's a Spanish equivalent. Can you say the word again?
Yeah.
Consuegos.
Consuegos.
Okay, in some other languages they have it also.
Okay, so whatever the event is over here, we have the word melkochayim. It does not appear that there is an English equivalent to this term. Because you can't say the palate, because Rav Mordechai is going to be very upset. The palate is only on top. And there is no one word which captures the melkochayim. There's the portion above, the portion below together. Like you said yesterday, the tongues. The tongues is something which grabs from the top and below. The pressure that is created from two different items. Okay, so we have over here the melkochayim. That's just, I wanted to point out that rid. Now on the next page, we have some interesting things. I'm going to go look a little bit at some of the radak. Okay, let's look at the radak. The radak, so there are a few important radaks to go through. Let's, on page 199, let's start, I'm going to jump around a little bit. Let's look at the Kamai Mishpachti. Okay, Mishpachti. Like water I poured out, Mipachdam, fear, Nishpachti Kamayim, Al Derech Moshel. Ki ilu hoyisi nomes, this, page 199. Page 1-9 on the Radak, the very, very top. I'm going to jump around a little bit. Okay, I'm going to jump around a little bit. Tesvav, the very, very top. The very top. Kamayim nishbachti mipachtam. I was terrified. Now again, the Radak does not necessarily learning this refers to Esther. Okay, every one of the Mefarshim has their approach. Either it refers to David, or refers to Klal Yisrael, or refers to Esther. Or refers to some event in the future. Okay, you have to be consistent in each of the parshim. But just the basic idea is kamayim nishpachti mipachtam nishpachti kamayim al derech moshel. This is just a metaphor. Ki ilu hayisi nomes vispardu kol atzmosoi. Now here he says over here atzmos him koshim min amayim lefichach omar bochem vispardu shnispardu mikishrehem shem kishurim ze boze. Right, so this is just saying that the bones are tied. The reason why I'm pointing this out is because this had caught my attention is because of my pet peeve of chilutz atzamos. And here, when he says over here my bones fell apart, he uses a terminology in the Radak. Remember, the Radak is from the, you know, you don't play around with the Radak. The Radak wrote the book. All the laws of Diktuk, they're one of the greatest experts in language and grammar in Jewish history was the Radak. Okay, Rashi as well, of course. But Radak, Rav David Kimchi, he wrote the Sefer Michlo. All the laws of Diktuk today are really You go into a Judaica store and they have a whole bookcase of books on grammar. Where are the rules? Who made the rules? Who made the rules? He didn't make the rules, but he's the one that basically, you know, presented them. And every person of grammar has no choice but to bow his head to Rav David Kimfield. So when he writes, you take what he says very seriously. And what caught my attention is, where he writes, Vispardu Shemispardu Mikishrehem. That word really triggered excitement. He says the bones are tied. They are knots. They're tied. And you don't look at it like that. This person goes to a doctor and he has an issue with you know, a hip and shoulders and joints. They don't use those terms that there's a kesher.
The thigh bones connect to the hip bone.
They're connected. There's a connection. There are sockets. There are sockets, and it's the neflois haboire. There are cavities. Then there are gidin.
Oh,
okay, right. There are gidin, atzamos, there are sinews, and there are all different kinds of things. But today, I never study these things. But I don't imagine that when these doctors, they study the anatomy of the neflois haboire, of how all of the joints, all of the different limbs, bones, they interconnect and they have mobility. There are sockets, and they swivel in the socket, and there obviously there are muscles, and there are all different types of tendons, all different types of things. But you don't hear a term in English that the two bones are tied. You have a knife, you take like a shoelaces, you know, you take shoelaces, you make a single knot, a bow. You don't hear that term. That's not the term you use. They're not tied. They're inserted into their socket. And the socket is a miracle. It's just, it gives you just enough room for it to swivel without friction, without too much pressure.
Tied together is like interconnected.
Right, so when we talk about a kesher, a knot, you think about tefillin. You have tefillin, so you have straps, and you make knots. They're real knots. The dalet is a real knot. On the Shogayi, a lot of knots going on over there. Most people don't know how to make these knots. I couldn't make these knots. These are complicated knots. When you talk about the muscles, you don't talk about knots. You talk about they are in sockets and they swivel. And there are a lot of things that go surrounded to make everything work out perfectly. The Radak, amazingly, in his anatomy book, he has a new term. When the two bones are connected, he used the word that they're tied. He uses the same word you use when you refer to tying your shoes. If not for the Radak, you couldn't say that. We wouldn't say that. And the Radak, you don't just brush him off and say, oh, the Radak was just being poetic. He's not poetic. The Radak is the Radak. He wrote the rules. He wrote the book on grammar. He is the expert on words. He wrote the first thesaurus. What is it called? Okay, besides the Michlal, he wrote Hakarmel, which basically is a thesaurus on Hebrew words. And he has a very interesting word terms over here. Vispardu kol atzmo, so they fell apart, they separated. So you'd say today, oh, they came out of its socket. You got to go to an expert that put the bones back in their socket. These people who know how to do that, who know how to push the bones back where they came from. He says, Hoatzamos heim. Koshim, I mean, they're very hard. First he says they're koshim, they're very tough, they're very hard, one water. Lefichach Amar Bochem Vispardu, Shenispardu Mikish Rehem, from their kesher. Shehem Kishurim Ze Bo Ze. He repeats it. Now, why does that excite me? Big deal, right? So very nice.
You mistranslated the word kesher.
Kesher does not mean a knot.
So you have a kesher between one person and another. There is a connection.
A bond.
There's a bond.
Okay, I accept that. All right, that can very well be true. That can very well be true. But the word kesher also
means a knot.
Which connects two things.
Also, and that's why when you talk about chilutz atzamos, this we had a discussion. Michal disagreed with me. I'm coming to challenge him again from this. Or not really, it fits what you said also. is we're learning now, many people here are learning Masechta Yevamos, and you're learning about Chalitza, and there's a ceremony called Chalitzas HaNoah, where the sister-in-law, what does she do? What is the ceremony? She doesn't take off the shoe. That she does, but the term of the Torah is to loosen. Chalitza means to untie. The word chalitza means to I don't even know what the word really means. To loosen the strap. The ceremony of chalitza is where a person is wearing shoes and he has shoe straps. And the shoe straps are basically identical to the ritzuos of tefillin. When you wear tefillin, you have what do you have on your tefillin? You have shoe straps. How do you know they're shoe straps? Go look at the shoe that they use for chalitza. And the shoe they use for chalitza, they have books, they have these very colorful pictures. It's very easy to get a hold of these pictures. The straps on the shoe that is used for chalitza are identical to the ritzuos of your tefillin. They're identical. The shoes go on the feet, and the tefillin go on the head. Okay, what are the tefillin, by the way? The tefillin are Hashem's shoes. V'ho'oretz hadoim raglov. This earth is Hashem's footstool. It's Hashem's footstool. So Hashem is resting his feet on this world. Where is he resting his feet? On your head. If you are worthy, then you serve as Hashem's footstool. So Hashem is resting his feet on your head. Hashem is kul ruchni. So your tefillin are in essence Hashem's shoes. And Hashem's shoes need shoe straps. And that's why the tefillin have shoe straps. V'roko amir is ki shem Hashem nikro alecha. This world is the footstool. Specifically, the Jewish people, we are the footstool of Hashem, and the shoes are, and the tefillin are Hashem's shoes with straps.
Chalutzim,
gird. Oh, okay, so that's another term. You write armed. What does it mean? They are chalutzim, girded. You take straps, and you tie yourself up. You bind yourself, you get your back, like these construction workers, they tie up their back. It should be a gibor. People lose off the posture. Put a strap around your back, it helps you keep yourself standing straight. Chalutzim. So chalutzim, you have to study the etymology of the word over there. Chalutzim means armed. Armed, but I think it refers to gird your, you put on your weapons. You put on your weapons like you have a holster, you don't you have a belt where you hold your sword. You have a, you know, a whole
well, was another shot that they ransacked the shrine. They emptied out the shrine.
That's a different term. I think that's that's nitzel. That's nitzel. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, over here, so it says, we say every once a month, chilutz atzamos. So what does the Yevama do? She loosens the straps of the shoe of her brother-in-law. That's how it starts. The brother-in-law wears a shoe, and the shoe has straps, shoelaces. And the process is, she doesn't take off the shoe. She does that at the end.
She releases.
How does she release it?
From the foot, the band.
And how is that done? The critical element of chalitza is to open up the knot. If you watch a demonstration of chalitza, he wears the shoe, and the most important part of the shoe are the straps. And the straps are tied. And she opens up the knot.
And loosens
the straps. And now when the knot is open and the straps are loosened, she pulls off the shoe. But the word chalitza is not going on, that's what comes later. Chalitza means to loosen. How do you loosen? You open up the kesher. You open up the kesher, the knot. So now, when we say on Rosh Chodesh, chilutz atzamos. So Rav Michal will say, when you exercise, now that we know what the Radak says, that it says here in this pasuk, v'spordu kol atzmosoi, my bones have been severed, separated. And the Radak tells you that bones are tied. There is a kesher that goes between one bone and the other. And this means that David's enemies, or our enemies, have taken that band, that knot, they've opened it up, and they've completely severed the connection, one bone and the other. On Rosh Chodesh, we are mispalo that we should do this, but not 100%, a little bit. Loosen the connection between the bones, because if the bones are too tight, it's not good, it's not healthy. When you get exercise, you loosen the bones a little bit, which could be healthy.
You don't want bone on bone.
You don't want bone on bone. I personally, respectfully, have a different interpretation than what Rabbi Chol says, and it means just the opposite. It means most people, the problem they have as they age is not that their bones are touching, it's the bones are too loose. They're disjointed. As a person gets older, the muscles get weaker and they're not being kept in place. Good health is when the bones are firm, firm in their socket. The kesher is tight. How many people during the day who wear shoelaces do you have to stop in the middle of the day and retie your shoelaces? Because the shoelaces...
What's going on?
Don't worry about it. The shoelaces sometimes loosen. Most people, you know, how many people during the day, they say, wait a minute, I need a break. My shoes are too tight. I have to untie them and tie them again just right. Verse, the people who say, my shoelaces have opened up, they're too loose, I need to retie them. Well, I think it's 99.9 verse 1 of people during the day who says, I have to retie my shoelaces because they loosened. The Mitzvah says when you walk around the whole day and you're busy, the shoelaces have a tendency to open and to get loose, and you need to tighten them. In life, it's the same thing. As a person gets older, the muscles weaken and there are issues, and the bones sometimes are separated more than they should. So good health is to attach. The bones should be healthy. They should be firmly positioned in their socket. And as we always say, a word can swivel 180 when you just manipulate its vowels. Chalitza is to loosen. Chilutz is to tighten. Yishrash is to uproot. It's to take root. Yisharesh is to uproot. Okay, so however you like it, you can't ignore, however you want to go interpret it, but you cannot ignore the fact that the word chalitza, the word chalitza, or the word chilutz, is the perfect word for atzamos, based upon this pasuk, based upon what we just read in the Radak, who uses the terminology of a kesher. And you have another pasuk which says that the bones are tied with a knot to one another, that metaphor, I don't know if you'll find it somewhere. But there's no question that the metaphor of kesher fits very well with the term chilutz and chalitza, because that word chalitza means to undo the knot. It fits, and here you have a radak that says it as it is. Okay, it's very late. I really want to move ahead, so let's just do maybe one more malbim. Then tomorrow we're going to go weiter and have to move ahead to something new tomorrow. Let's go look over here very quickly at Kisavuni Klavim in the Radak. We'll jump down, Pasuk Yitzayin. Pasuk Yitzayin, we have just one more thing, we're out of time, but Pasuk 199, page 199. 199 in the Radak, Pasuk Yitzayin, last thing. Kisavuni Klavim. Hey, Mo'ayim, Ani, Besaychem, Kamo, these are the enemies. Kamo, Mi, Shes, Sivavuni Klavim, Shein, Loi, Derech, Lo, Nesunem, Uperusha, Sivuni Klavim, Adas, Menem, Hikifu, Achar, Hamash, Alitza, Kari, Yodav, Raglai, Hekifuni kmo ha'ari shemakif biznava yibiyar v'chol chaya shetira oiso ho'agula lo'esteitze misham mimoiru ha'ari mipachte. Okay, I'm just reading words over here. I'm going to get to the part that I want to read. He talks about a circle. I'm the third line now. The end of the third line. Pasuk Yitzayin, page 199 in the Radak. V'yasvu yideyem v'raglayem v'yimso ho'ariye tarv poi b'soich agula so in his orbit. What does that mean? I don't know, but he explains what it means in the next words. Kein anachnu. This is a very frightening radak. He's describing the galus of the Jewish people. Anachnu bigalus, besoicho agula. We're in a continuous cycle, an orbit. We're trapped.
Or a circle.
We're going in circles.
We are encircled.
What does that mean? Here we go again. We always think, can't wait until we have a new president. Who says it'll be any better? You can't wait until we have this enemy, the Yishmaelim. If we only can get rid of this enemy, then we're safe. It's not going to solve the problem.
There's a pasuk for that. Laila mitain boker, boker.
Very good. Laila mitain boker, boker in the Teichacha, and it says ki nitzay merishus hayishmeelim. What happens? Finally, we will be victorious over the Yishmaelim. Yeah, and what's next? You're still in Galus. If you're in Galus, you're just going in circles, or you're under siege. There'll be another enemy to make trouble for you. Navoi Birishus Ha'arelim, referring to who? The Arelim refers to Esav. And then Birishus Ha'arelim, Navoi Birishus Ha'Yishmaelim. V'hinei Anachnu.
Because the
Yishmaelim
were actually
in Yishmaelim. We're just going from one enemy to the next. We think that we're all...
were actually circumcised.
Right. So we think if only we can escape from this enemy, we're missing the boat. Right. The goal is Geula. The goal is redemption. The goal is not to be petty and just, okay, we have a problem. We have enemies. We have this anti-Semitism. So we have to deal with this form of anti-Semitism. As long as we are in Galus, there's just going to be another problem. That's the nature of Galus. The nature of Galus is to wake up, to do teshuvah, and to achieve gula, to be petty, and to focus on a symptom and not the disease is not going to solve the problem. That's what it all is all about. We're in shock. We realize, why bother fighting with this enemy? What's going to happen? We'll fight with this enemy, and then what? There'll be another enemy. We'll fight with that enemy. There'll be another enemy. We're just dealing with symptoms. We're not dealing with the core problem. Ki ein lanu rishus levroyach v'raglenu ulilochim b'yodenu v'hine ki ilu yodenu v'raglenu. It's as if we are in chains. So you look over here back to the pasuk. Pasuk Yitzhak, how you interpret the pasuk? It says, "Ki sivavuni klavim adas mirayim." We are surrounded by dogs, by an assembly of evildoers. Hikifuni, they surround me. Kwari yodai v'raglai. In other words, we're just going in circles. There are dogs, and there are
There's an expression: fight or flight. Right? That's what he's saying. He says, we don't think we can fight, and we don't think we can flee either. The instinct is fight or flight, but we're stuck.
Now, it seems that according to the Ma'alb Radak, we have a third translation for the words Kwari Yodai V'Ragloi. Remember, Rashi and the Mitzvah says it means like a lion that chews and breaks into little pieces our bones. We learned from another one of the I already forgot that the Kari Yodai V'Raglai means the Minchas Erev. We have confidence. It's an expression of Emunah. Despite the fact that we're surrounded by our enemies, we have our Emunah is firm and robust. And now we have the Malbim. The Malbim says that our we are handicapped. And he says Kari, I don't know what he means. Kari means normally a lion, but the way he's interpreting it is, our hands are like in chains. Hikifuni kwari.
I wish I could show you visually.
Yeah.
But the way the translator here learns it, it says the lion draws a circle, so to speak, with its tail, and with it we are within it, and we draw in our hands and our feet. folks together so as not to go outside that circle and get the lion angry.
Okay, something like that. He's playing with the words over here. Okay, but I don't really have precision what it means, but it means that we're handicapped. We're powerless. We're powerless. Our hands are not functional. For whatever that's how we're saying it over here. They're like in chains. There, it sounds like Hikifuni Kwari. Maybe he learns the word Ari doesn't mean a lie. Maybe the word Ari over here means it means she says it's chains. We've been shackled. Our hands and feet are shackled in chains because no matter what we do, no matter what we do, there's just another enemy waiting for us. It's futile to fight. We're gonna fight with this and then what? Another enemy. Again, don't treat the symptoms, treat the disease. All right, Rishon, tomorrow we're gonna move on to Pasuk Yud Tes. Tomorrow we're gonna go Yud Tes. We're gonna skip whatever else we want to do over here because I want to cover some ground. I'll take a short break. I want to talk just a little bit about today's Yom HaZikaron for a few moments, and then if we have time, we'll talk about Chodosh. I want to talk about some ideas, some very interesting things about Chodosh. We'll see how much time we have.
You know what's the